Welcome to Medical Confessions,
your remedy for serious medicine. I'm Jen.
I'm April.
And I'm Scott. Today we're going to be talking about food cravings and do people actually crave foods that their body's short on nutrients on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And we're also going to be talking about if cranberry juice actually helps you with UTIs.
Interesting. Yeah. And I don't, Scott, you've never been pregnant.
I have never been pregnant, not once.
But
ever.
To me, that's a good example of the pregnancy cravings, because you always hear about pregnant women craving things. And I think it's kind of, I don't know if it's an old wives' tale, but you always thought maybe you're craving whatever your body needed for the nutrition of the baby. And I don't know, April, if you had cravings at all during pregnancy or not.
I did, and it had nothing to do with nutrition.
No.
I craved McDonald's French fries.
Oh, mine was McDonald's cheeseburgers.
I crave McDonald's French fries in general.
I don't hate McDonald's. I'm just not a fast food person. But I would crave those soft little morsely delicious. maybe it wasn't a pregnancy thing. But I still, there's something about a McDonald's cheeseburger that's just scrumptious.
No, I can't stand McDonald's. I like their breakfast sandwiches, like the egg white delights and like that. But their food, I guess.
Well, my wife craved Arby's, which sucked for me because the closest Arby's was 45 minutes away.
I love Arby's, though. I can understand
that. There was a time at 9:30 at night I had to drive to get Arby's.
Oh, classic pregnancy thing.
And I did it.
See, I feel shipped. Like, I don't think I ever did something like that. I think it was just like, what do you want to eat? And I was like, ooh, cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think I did that a few times. Yeah. But I didn't do, like, the 9 o'clock pickles and ice cream or whatever it was.
I did it a lot.
Did you?
I went from 130 to 195 in pregnancy.
65 pounds? That doesn't
seem like...
I'm not
even going to pretend like that's reasonable. pregnancy, whatever, that's fine. I just can't imagine 60 pounds.
I saw a friend and her mom at the store and I sat down and just BS'd with them. And when I got up, she's like, my mom asked... Who was that?
Oh, no, and it's somebody you knew well.
Yeah, and she's like, that was April. And she's like, I didn't think she could get that fat. my nose got fat.
Yeah.
Like, everything about
me. Mine did, too. Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. It was awful.
Well, and you and I aren't very tall. And so when you... this isn't even the point of the show. Sorry. We're not very tall. Cravings are bad when you're not tall.
Women talking about their fat and non-fat. It makes sense.
Oh. So, but is it true? Do you crave foods? I don't think it's a nutritional thing for general population because the foods that I crave, I don't think have any nutritional value.
Like, so there is one, there's only one thing that's been proven that you will crave because of a lack of nutrients, and that's something called pica, and you'll actually crave iron, you'll crave dirt.
But isn't that a mental disorder where people...
It can be.
Because I've heard of people eating...
It can be,
weird
but there
stuff,
was some
like
studies of people who were low on iron and zinc craving clay and dirt, and so they attributed. But at the end of the day, hunger is such a complex mechanism of different hormones and neurotransmitters acting at the same time. No one really knows exactly what causes cravings because there's too many variables. But what they can do is weed out certain causes, and they've weeded out nutritional deficits as a reason for cravings. So... To give some examples, you know, Japanese women cite sushi as the number one food they crave. Women in the United States cite
chocolate.
Yeah, it is chocolate.
I don't even like chocolate. I don't get that one.
My favorite number comes from people who do give into cravings, right? I really need my cheeseburger. I'm going to give into that. Men who give into their cravings, there's 85% of them will say they're satisfied with that. Only 57% of women say they're satisfied when they give in to their cravings.
So being a man,
I just think, well, no wonder women, you know, you're never satisfied even when something good comes your way. I mean, geez.
We feel guilty. We overthink it. We worry about what our husbands and our significant others are going to think about.
I gave you what you want and you're still not happy. What the heck? Let's talk about what does cause cravings or what does cause hunger, I guess, or the feeling of hunger.
And that one's really interesting. I'm a horrible hungry person. Like, I I have to methodically eat throughout the day if I hit that hungry period. So that this really interests
me. You get a little hangry?
Oh, well, come on, Scott.
I've seen it. Let's be honest.
And I know it's there. It's like mood swings. Like, I know it's there, but I can't control it. And my blood sugar's not low. We've tested that before to find out, am I actually hypoglycemic? Is it an issue that I have? And it's not. I think that I'm out of it. My brain's not functioning. My sugar's got to be low.
We know everybody keeps a little extra snack in their pockets at work. Just Jen hasn't eaten in 3 hours. Someone feed her quick. It's interesting you say, your blood sugar levels, because there are studies that say a 10% drop in blood sugar precedes almost every meal that people eat. But that's more of a hormone issue than I've got diabetes or something.
Right, right.
So there's, like we talked about, there's several hormones and neurotransmitters. So some of the hormones involved, one is called ghrelin. Ghrelin will actually increase hunger. There's also neurotransmitters, neuropeptide Y and anandamide will increase hunger. Anandamide is interesting because it'll bind to cannabinoid receptors. Cannabinoid receptors, excuse me.
I was actually going to correct you. I knew that one.
Well, didn't you do a show on that once, right? But cannabinoid receptors are the same thing that pot, when you smoke pot, that's what's making you feel munchy.
from the video, not from use.
So those are the two neurotransmitters, and that'll make you feel hungry. So leptin is a hormone that'll make you feel full, and leptin actually will counteract the effects of anandamide and neuropeptide Y, and it'll produce something called alpha melanocyte stimulating hormone, and that'll also make you feel full. So any abnormal production of those hormones is going to make you either feel full or hungry. Pregnant women are known to have hormones all over the board.
Right.
So the theory then is that you just abnormal hormone release is causing some cravings of some sort.
Abnormally hormonal. That explains your 60-pound weight gain.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be the hormones.
I was young. I just thought, I'm hungry. Whatever. I can eat whatever I want. I'm supposed to. Young and dumb.
The baby needs this.
6 cheeseburgers.
My baby wants this waffle with strawberries and whipped cream every morning.
Bacon waffles with pickles on the side.
They didn't do anything weird like that.
No.
Well, and then there's other things, so dopamine is kind of your feel-good neural transmitter. Certain foods will release dopamine. For instance, there are certain proteins that produce an amino acid called tyrosine, and tyrosine will produce dopamine. So if you eat certain proteins, you'll get that, just like a runner craves the runner's high from the dopamine release, you'll crave that food because you want that same stimulation.
Right.
Carbs will actually increase insulin. Insulin will get rid of a lot of amino acids, but will leave tryptophan. Tryptophan will actually turn into serotonin in the brain. Serotonin is another feel-good neural transmitter. Mm-hmm. So eat carbs. Makes you kind of feel good.
Right.
And so I crave carbs like nobody's business. I'll eat bread all day long. Mm-hmm. And it could be the serotonin. I don't know. I love my carbs.
I like salt. And sometimes I will just eat salt.
Like plain salt?
Just salt. I'll just eat it out of my hand. It's really weird.
That is weird.
I was a Play-Doh eater when I was little. The homemade Play-Doh.
Yeah.
The really
homemade
salty
stuff. She wants to clarify.
Yeah. Not the Play-Doh jars.
As long as it's not glue. If it's glue, we're going to have to.
April's licking glue in the corner in kindergarten.
I would steal the Play-Doh from kindergarten.
And eat it.
Yeah. And eat it.
Well, it's interesting.
I think everyone's tasted it at some point, though.
No, I'd Play-Doh? Eat it.
Yeah.
I would
never
still
taste
eat
it.
I don't think I've ever tasted Play-Doh.
I would still Play-Doh eat it now. Like, if there was Play-Doh, yeah.
It's a salt. See,
it's salt.
I don't know. Maybe mine is salt, but I like, mine is like steak and like cheese and jerky, like savory. Like, even my sweet go-to is cheesecake.
Interesting you say that.
You know,
tryptophan. Cheese has a lot of tryptophan.
Yeah, like, that's my snack. Like, if, I'll cut up cheddar cheese and I'll just eat, like, chunks of cheese.
Yeah, if memory serves, nuts and nuts will have the most amount of tryptophan. Cheese is, like, number two. Number three is, like, pork.
I'm like eating pistachios, cheddar cheese, and pork. Pork rinds. Does that count? Because I love those.
No. That's,
and there's no carbs in those.
Because it's what?
Fat? Yeah. I mean, I like to call it savory.
Why don't you just sit there and eat the sour cream with a spoon,
I
you
do
know?
That too.
Oh, really?
I'm like, awesome. I'm judging your salt yeah. over there licking the sour cream spoon.
Well, it's funny you say that. Yet. There was a lady, they diagnosed her with pica, but she would eat couches. She ate an entire couch in a year.
There's a TV show, My Strange Addiction, and it's people that do stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, she was averaging 3 pillows a week is what she was eating the foam
it's
out
so
of the couch.
Crazy to me.
How does that not give you a bowel obstruction at some point?
It probably
you know?
Does. It probably has to.
Well, yeah. She was consistent for years eating it, and she said, I eat the equivalent of about a couch a year.
Oh my gosh.
So weird. Mm. So how does she not suffer from nutritional deficiencies? You know, like how does she not like get scurvy or something?
She's not eating any vitamin C
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, I mean, serious. Like, wouldn't that fill you up? I mean, isn't that like literally a filler?
Yeah, quite literally. She's got a really squishy belly. Ugh. She's so
she
comfortable
she,
to lay on.
What does she do
on?
When she encounters down? Sorry.
Can you imagine her kids are like, I love laying on my mom. She's so comfortable.
That's so sad.
Would she buy new couches?
You got to imagine
oh,
she's...
Oh, dear. Let's go there. Was yeah. it a Habitat for Humanity couch, or was it
Well, you
from...
can't imagine it's brand new. I'm not going to the, you know, Bon Marché.
I don't know,
buying...
but if I'm
going to
ingest it, yeah.
if you're ingesting a couch, the grossness factor just kind of goes out the window.
Maybe, yeah. Hmm.
She's got OCD and she's got pica at the same time. She's got to bleach the couch first before she eats it.
I don't know.
Gross.
Doesn't make any sense to begin with, so...
Mm. We're digressing.
Okay.
So it's, you know, there's so many complex mechanisms that make you feel hungry and full. It's tough to narrow down any one of those.
Yeah.
But we can say that it's not from, there have been studies that say, okay, the people who crave X, Y, or Z, let's do some blood tests, and they weren't deficient on those X, Ys, or Zs. Mm. It's more hormone problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, the psychological effects from, you know, dopamine and serotonin and those, addictive effects.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I feel like, you know, if you go a while without something, you know, if you, whatever, haven't had a fresh orange in a long time, and orange sounds really, really good, but I don't know if it's actually because you're deficient in vitamin C or whatever it is that offers.
Well, and it's also a lot of the things that you're used to. You'll crave things that you're used to eating. There was one study that I love that was, they gave people this horrific protein drink that just tasted rancid, and they made them drink it for a couple of weeks, and they all hated it. But then at the end of the study, fast forward a week, they all craved that same drink.
Oh.
And it was just they were used to the flavor.
To it.
So it really wasn't anything to do with nutritional. That's just what they're used to eating, which is anecdotally probably why the Japanese women tend to have more sushi. They tend
they
to crave sushi.
It.
Women in the U.S. tend to like chocolate.
I feel like I haven't ate or drank one protein bar or shake
that I like.
Yeah. But I did it. Oh, it's supposed to be good for me. I'm getting
right.
my protein. And then after a while, it's not
yeah,
so
that's
terrible.
A good point. I can't think of anything that I've ever... And I've done the same. I've, you know, done protein shakes because they're good for you. But I don't think I've ever craved them.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, anybody who had beer for the first time when they're, you know, teenager or whatever. It's horrible. But then pretty soon...
What was your first beer? Do you remember it?
I remember my first beer, and I'm going to be throwing her under the bus, but my sister gave it to me.
Oh.
And she at first it was a joke.
How old were you?
I am going to actually leave that one to myself, but I was way
I forgot
too
much,
young.
How old, what's the age difference with you guys?
Let's see, 5 years.
Oh.
So I was actually pretty young, younger than you would want. And it was a joke. I was at her house. She's like, oh, I've got, you want something to drink? Yeah, I've got milk, juice. You want a beer? And I was like, beer? And I think, she, you know, she's being the sisterly, I can't take it back now,
right.
So sure. So the funny story was I sipped on it, and I was like, oh, God, that's horrible.
Why
I don't want that.
Drink this? Yeah.
Right? So I just, like, nursed that thing. Like, I probably didn't even have an ounce of that thing. As soon as she went to bed, I was pouring that out on her back porch. Like,
so
I'm not drinking that.
You weren't even as tough as you let your sister believe.
No, not even a little. And the next morning, did you like that? Oh, yeah, I finished the whole thing.
Yeah, no and, big deal. And that makes sense to me. Like, there's an acquired taste, you know. Same with, like, wine. Like, the first few times I had wine, I was like, yeah. And then now I actually enjoy it. And so I can see that, but I, like, something that has no, like, alcohol has an effect that you, even if you don't love the taste of alcohol, you get that high or that, you know, like, you feel good.
You get dopamine release.
So that makes sense to me, but, like, protein shake, no, I can't. I'm not buying it. I don't think there's an acquired taste for it.
Some people craved it after study. It's exciting.
And maybe that's good as a parent to know, so I'll just keep making my kids eat the vegetables they don't like, and eventually they'll think that they're good and crave them.
I'm gonna that's test a good it. Philosophy, yeah.
Just make them keep tasting
it. You will eat it until you like it.
Yeah.
I stole a Bud Ice from my dad in 6th or 7th grade.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was awful. I took one drink, so did my friend, and we dumped it out.
I honestly think I was 19 before I had my first sip of alcohol. Unless, like, my mom or dad, but my mom and dad didn't even have really alcohol in the house, so I don't think I even tasted alcohol until I was, like, 19.
Wow.
Yeah.
That does seem abnormal.
Yeah, it was. But.
And the legal age is 21.
Well, and what about, there's a James Vicari, I think his name, in 1957, he came up with subliminal messaging in movies.
Yeah.
Like, he had the idea of, if I just put one slide of a Coke and then one slide of a popcorn, that people would then leave the movie and get more pop.
So it wasn't Coke part of the film. It wasn't like Tom Cruise is holding
a
beer.
Like a little, like flash. Yeah. So you would subconsciously know.
Oh, because your brains couldn't actually perceive that you saw it because it's too quick. Okay. Ooh,
right. He later came up and said, I made it up, but there are certain in like Britain and Australia, there's laws that
you can't
absolutely
hide stuff.
Says no, you can't do that. Even though it's like proven, we should that do it some doesn't work. Of
this. Yeah. All of a sudden, all our viewers are really craving, you know, cranberry juice.
Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
Because having them planted like during on a movie, you can see there's like American placement. Idol, where all the judges have the same Coke cup. You know, like, you know that that's product placement. But there are times when you'll see it on TV and be like, ooh. But the missing, the hiding, hidden slide, I don't know. That seems hokey.
I always think, oh, there's a sponsor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you kind of laugh it off. And I'm like, that's not Coke in their cup. You can't sit
like
next
Coke.
To Simon Cowell and sip on Coke.
Speaking of rancid things, pure cranberry juice.
I'm excited about. I love cranberry. Pomegranates, cranberry.
Do you really?
I actually crave.
Oh, I love pomegranates.
That's my number one favorite food, by the way. Pomegranates.
Oh, yeah.
Like, above everything else.
Really?
I think it's because when I was little, we didn't get them. Like, we were in Alaska, and we didn't have pomegranates, and they were super expensive at the grocery store. And the first time I ever got one, I was like, this is magical fruit. So to this day, I actually, like, get excited about having a pomegranate to eat. But I like cranberry, like, the same tart kind of. So I'm
all
excited.
You say magical fruit, and it's that kindergarten thing.
Beans,
a magical fruit. So cranberry juice. Pure cranberry juice. Ew.
Good for... Well, I've never had pure, so this may not be that great.
I have never had pure cranberry juice.
Either. But I'm assuming that it's healthy. It says the vitamin shop, so I'm assuming that drinking cranberry juice is healthy.
Well, there is a lot of healthy things in cranberry juice that you can also get in red wines.
What? What do I have wrong?
Are you going to move that?
Well, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it because while you were talking initially, I was kind of laughing because it says the vitamin shop. So this actually looks like it's going to be like this cool, you know, and then I'm looking and it's gluten-free, it's dairy-free, it's soy-free, and it's nut-free. And I'm thinking that doesn't sound good. And additionally, it doesn't say anything medicinal on it. It says it can be mixed with water, seltzer, juice, or beverage of your choice. Good for smoothies, fruit cocktails, and as a mixer. A delicious natural topping for yogurt and ice cream. And that's basically all it says. So I'm feeling like this is about as useless as you're telling me it is.
Well, and it's super bitter. I mean, I think the cranberry juice, doesn't the name mean something like bitter food or something? I don't remember exactly. But I think that's where it comes from. But so most UTIs are caused by the E. coli bacteria, mostly from fecal matter, actually. Wiping front to back, it's a thing, you know. don't wipe back to front. That's when I had my daughters. That was playing in my head every time I change their diaper front to back, front to back. Because,
right.
You know.
It's legit, right?
It is.
Yeah.
And anecdotally, women, 1 in 3 women will have a UTI by age 24, whereas only 1 in 2,000 men.
Oh.
So, and it's, you know, the urethra is a little closer to the anus for women than it is for men.
Yeah. A lot that, closer, right?
Well, for some of us with great finger ratios, you know, you can't, it's like, hello down there.
It's
I mean, it's a ways,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's in another state, for God's sakes.
This is maybe not G-rated, but the front-to-back thing, but for women, educational purposes, it's also pee after sex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, parents.com state that 75% of UTIs in women are triggered from sexual intercourse, and there's about 8 million hospital visits or doctor visits a year due to UTI.
Well, and I could see the UTI is a huge deal. I mean, it's especially in old
people.
Elderly people.
Yeah. Well, it seems like men and women, yeah. Elderly patients have them equally. I mean,
well,
I feel
depends.
Like, yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Pun intended. They're wearing depends.
I was kind of like, depends on what? Oh, depends.
Well, I think
got it.
The older you get, they're having catheters in them to help, and the catheters is going to give
sure.
a direct path for bacteria. So I think that, but no, women are way more prone to those.
Even in the older age.
You know, I don't know about the older age. The study I remember reading was 1 in 3 women will have it by age 24, whereas only 1 in 2,000 men will get a UTI by age 24.
Well, and biologically, you know, just the anatomy, that makes sense to me. I mean,
yeah.
I just feel like it's really hard to infiltrate.
And
that's a problem.
All I know is growing up, it was really hard to infiltrate the ladies. Maybe some of us still have that same problem. I don't know.
We're
digressing here.
Well, I also read, and I just liked the wording of it. They said, in Parents again, intercourse promotes UTI because of the back and forth motion literally massages bacteria from your anus into your bladder. Like,
are they?
I just
like,
got a visual of like.
I feel like this source is like just. You know, anti-premarital sex. Like, they were just trying to scare the bejesus out of everybody with their verbal...
Have you seen the Amy Schumer stand-up on her UTI? It's hilarious.
Oh.
You need to. She's like...
We gotta do a link to that, then.
Oh, totally. Yes. We'll add a link, because she's like, I'm 33 and just got my first UTI. And it's... No one tells you how embarrassing it is. They just... How'd you get it? You know how I got it. I had sex... Didn't pee afterwards, laid there like a cum dumpster. And then she just goes on and on about how embarrassing this UTI is for her.
Well, because it is. I mean, you know, I think in older patients, you don't think much of it. Maybe it's the depends or, you know, whatever, hygiene. But I think in younger women, it's probably just like, you know, the scarlet letter. Like, it's embarrassing.
Big A on your chest.
Yeah. But it's, I guess, you know, so there isn't really a preventative measure.
So
there's
a
mix or there's...
And has there been a study that have people tried to do this cranberry juice to prove that it does work? Because there are people that say... I have a UTI and drink cranberry juice and it works every time.
Or do they just hydrate themselves?
Right.
And
well, and so the mechanism involved is actually real. I can't keep saying that word, proanthocyanidins and flavanols in here E. coli bacteria is the cause, right? There's certain types of E. coli bacteria that are good for you. They help with the production of vitamin K, which is good for like bones and heart. But there's other type of E. coli bacteria that have called what's called fimbriae, or fimbriae, I don't really know how to pronounce it. F-I-M-B-R-I-A-E. How do you pronounce that?
We won't judge you. We will never check and we don't care.
Yeah. Somebody out there will check and we're gonna get it
somebody
in the comments.
Will know. Yeah.
I don't know, I can't pronounce it. I think it's French. But I always blame it on the French.
Yeah.
Anyways, those are little hair-like structures on the side of the E. coli bacteria. And when the E. coli gets introduced into your ureters, or the pathway to your kidneys, there's something called the Gibbs free energy of attachment. And without getting into a physics lecture, basically the fimbriae give the E. coli a negative number, which will make it want to attach to the cells in your ureters. So the proanthocyanidins and the flavanols will actually increase that number and make it more positive, which will make it less likely to attach. And that happens in a petri dish. We can do that. It works. The problem with that is it doesn't actually translate to in the human body. So there's been tons of studies on does cranberry juice actually help? And you need pure cranberry juice, not the watered down version you get in the store, the ocean spray. Not going to work. The Cochrane Review the Cochrane Group did a review in 2012. They looked at 24 studies and they said no, it didn't do anything. It did give you a 14% reduced chance of getting a UTI, but given all of the many metabolites and different things in urine, they said, well, that could have just been chance as well. And then the European Food and Drug Administration actually came out a year later and said cranberry juice is no longer allowed to say it'll help with UTIs because there's just no evidence that it does. Some of the studies that they look at say if you drink 2 glasses of pure cranberry juice every day for 6 months, you'll reduce your chance of getting a UTI by 1 UTI a year you get chronic UTIs. The problem with that was a lot of the people, up to 50% of them, drop out of the study because the cranberry juice was so horrid. So I'm curious to taste it. I want to taste it and see how bad it really is. But at the end of the day, cranberry juice does not cure UTI because you're not curing the UTI. You're trying to prevent it from happening. But it also doesn't really prevent it from happening either.
It's just a little bit. It looks like I poured a lot.
It looks almost like the consistency syrup. Of blood. Yeah. Like when you pour it in there.
It looks syrup. It looks to me like cough syrup.
Oh, it smells like cranberry juice.
What did you think it was going to smell like?
Watered-down version. Does it smell different? I don't know. But it doesn't that look like blood?
It instantly made my mouth water.
Oh, I got a little craving there, huh?
I love the smell of it. That smells really good.
The smell does good.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. But I love it.
Do you?
Yeah. I really like that. I could not do a glass.
There's no way.
I love it, though. It's like Sour Patch.
It's like lockjaw.
It's like Sour Patch Kids. That's what it reminds me of.
Why did we not have like a water chaser?
Oh, my God.
Why would you have lockjaw?
I don't know. It hurts really bad, right?
Your body is like, no. No more.
What's super bitter? You do go, just...
She spasmed. Your jaw spasmed and now it won't operate. Actually, my husband says that when he gets sour foods, he said he salivates and he said, I can feel it, like my jaw aches. Maybe that's the same thing. I always thought that was weird.
You said you like it?
I actually like it. But I love sour food.
I do like sour
Patch
food.
Kids, I will eat by the bucket loads. Like, I love them.
I just wasn't anticipating that. Sorry.
Didn't think it was going to be that strong. That is a lot stronger than I thought it was going to be.
Initially, it tasted good, and then all of a sudden, there's this waft of not awesome.
So, when you said they drank 2 glasses, okay. I feel like my teeth are going to be like wine, like just coated. Two glasses a day. A glass is meaning how much? Like 8 ounces?
A good question. The study said 2 glasses,
did they mix it with water?
No, it was pure cranberry juice.
But you can still, couldn't it still be pure, but you dilute it? Couldn't you still drink the same amount? So, let's just say the glass was 8 ounces. Couldn't you mix that with 8 ounces of water?
I would probably say no, because the purpose is Gibbs free energy of attachment. The second you start diluting it, you're changing the Gibbs energy. Gibbs free energy, in this case,
I would do that study.
You would?
I actually enjoyed that.
Oh, well, you can have it.
This is like the protein shake we were talking about, right?
You're going to start craving pure cranberry
juice?
That
was actually really good.
Yeah, I would dilute that and drink it because it is good. And I like the tartness of it.
I like cranberry juice just that you get in the ocean spray. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, if you dilute it, you're going to change Gibbs energy. And so you probably have, and I don't know depending on what you diluted it with.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But I actually enjoyed that. Like, I would I'm sure there's a physics
guy out there who could tell us, but...
That was really good. Like, that was better than...
Than what you were anticipating?
Yeah. Well, it was stronger than what I anticipated, so there was that, oh, gosh. But I really actually liked that.
See, I don't even want to finish the little bit that you gave
I'll
me.
I'll have it.
I'll drink it. Yay! I'll drink it.
Well, I think that you're onto something with the premarital sex. Like, just don't, just abstain. Was because Everyday Health says you can prevent UTIs. Here's the ways: urinate before and after sex, before clean.
That's because the parent people said you're literally
massaging
it in, so you want to get rid of it.
So, clean genital and anus areas also before and after sex.
That just doesn't, is that a mood killer?
Hold on. I mean, you got a brush on you.
Stay hydrated and don't use a diaphragm or spermicides as birth control.
Do people still use diaphragms?
And spermicides?
I don't know.
I mean, here, let me inject this into you before I get into you. I mean, it just...
I don't know. I don't even know how that...
Lube extra...
I don't know. It's a combination product.
Yeah, but you don't just... squirt it on up in there.
We're really having a hard time keeping this PG on this topic.
That's the funny thing about most of these conversations is the body in general is a taboo topic, especially in our culture in America.
Yeah.
And so you have very regular conversations and it always kind of translates to that kind of awkward area. But, you know, we're all here because of sex. Funny thing, too, is that it just seems like the UTI is the lesser of lots of risks. So, right?
That's true.
You know.
Yeah. HIV is probably worse.
However, wouldn't activities involving prophylactics like condoms also still introduce potentially fecal matter?
Sure.
You know, so I guess they really don't. Maybe there needs to be a contraceptive of UTIs.
Well, and the gross...
I don't know what that would look like, but like a full body glove.
Well, the really gross topic, you know, you start hearing these people who come down like the Jack in the Box where E. coli was such a huge thing with kids, or like if you go to a petting zoo and you get, you know, E. coli infection for kids, it's the fecal matter. And in my head, I'm thinking...
I was actually hospitalized for E. coli once.
Were you really?
Yeah, I really was. I lived in Florida at the time and ate at Burger King. And right before a movie, I know, right? And at the time, I had no idea what that was. But went to Burger King, went to the movies, had somebody else with me. And then probably an hour or two between eating and going to the movies. And then during the movie, I started feeling sick, thinking like I was getting fluish. Which, you know, I just thought the flu. Like I actually had like, you know, felt like I was getting feverish and kind of got... I actually started getting like an upset stomach. It was the strangest thing. And I actually got up and started walking around the movie theater. And I've never done that before and left, you know, walked up and down. And I kept getting sicker and sicker and finally ended up like, I have to go home. Went home, got in bed, laid in bed. And I woke up about 4 hours later and my stomach was distended to the point where I had put sweatpants on when I got home. My stomach was so distended that my sweatpants, the elastic was completely stretched out and it freaked me out. I drove myself to the emergency room and they admitted me and I don't remember. I think I was sleeping most of it off, but they had antibiotics and all that kind of stuff. Turned out there was an outbreak at that Burger King.
Gross.
And I didn't know really what it was. They were just like, you got E. coli from, you know, Burger King. I'm like, damn, Burger King? It wasn't until years...
Dang you, Burger King!
I still eat there occasionally, but at the time, I was just like, ooh, dirty, you know, but I didn't know till years later that I was like, I ate poop. Where's my class action lawsuit? Like, why did I eat poop? I really didn't understand what it was until years later. I was like, oh. So, cravings, not from food deficiency.
Nope, and cranberry juices will not help you with UTIs.
Once again.
Although, there are lots of people online who are really, really adamant about it.
Let the show die, Scott. Just let it die.
Well, I'm trying to preempt all of the trolls out there who say, I'm drinking cranberry juice, it works. Because I've wrote this article, and there are so many comments about people who just blasted me.
Right.
I'm like, look, come on.
Science.
You know. science says otherwise. Yeah. But go ahead, keep drinking it.
Well, and actually, I feel like that if people really truly feel, whether it's psychosomatic or whatever, if something makes you feel better, if it feels like it cures your ailments, then go for it. Yeah. But
confirmation bias is a strong motivator.
That's true. I guess. That's very true. That's very true. If you like what you saw here today, check out our YouTube videos or our other podcasts.
Or visit our website, medicalconfessions.com.